happy Saturday. Time for another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your questions. Anything you want to know about your home improvement projects. Maybe you made a mistake along the way. Maybe you don't know where to start. He is here taking your questions through text line. Of course, we always prefer a phone call. 514-790-0800. That's the best way to reach Walter Assey. Hi, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You had a good week?
I had a fantastic week.
You always have good weeks.
You know what? Next week, I'm coming here. I'm bringing my WD-40 with me.
What squeaky? The chairs?
The chairs.
My hip?
You know, and I figure, like, we're in a studio, that those noises are not really fun.
My hip may need some as well.
Your hip? Actually, it used to squeak before. Now it's perfectly
good
lubricated.
To go. Listen, during my show, during my Weekends with Joanne Backus, we actually got some questions because we were talking on my show about heating. Have you started heating the house yet? Because, you know, the temperatures are going, like on Wednesday, we're at 1 degree in the evening. Did you start heating it?
No.
Okay.
No, I like it cold.
We're gonna get to it because there's a debate as to whether you start slow, you start heating slowly, or you wait till it's freezing and then you overload the system. Or is it overloading the system? Hold your thought on that.
I am holding. I've been holding for the last half an hour since you asked me that question.
That's true. Listen, who else is on hold is our callers, 514-790-0800. We have Florence on the line. Florence has a question about heat pumps. Florence, can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning, Joanne and Walter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
We're great. And we want to know what, are you having an issue with the heat pumps?
Well, our heat pump is old, so it's time to replace it. Say goodbye. And we are in the indecision about whether to go with all electric heat pump and electric heat or to do the, we have gas forced air right now. So to go with a heat pump and use the gas forced air. And we don't know what to do. And we get people who are on either side of the fence.
Okay. So, I mean, the good news is they're both very efficient. The fact that you already have the infrastructure for gas is good. The advantage you have with gas is in very cold days, it kicks in a lot faster. That's pretty much really if you want to, you know, kind of simplify both cases. In a case where right now, the way you want to look at it from a financial perspective is where you're getting the most subvention back from the government. Have you done that study with the experts or the?
We have been asking about the different grants. Yes.
Okay, and which one is better, the gas or the electric?
The electric seems to offer more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Look, as far as the efficiency, now the heat pumps of today do work, some of them work up to minus 35, meaning the big heavy lifting, to be quite frank with you, is going to be done by your heat pump, which does not take much electricity, right? So the savings are really going to be in there, meaning buy energy is not as, if you want, financially advantageous as it used to be, like, let's say, 5-6 years ago, where the heat pumps would work to minus 12, and then, you know, it's most of the time the furnace that is working during the winter. So, in other words, I would go where there's more financial gain, okay? And the other thing also that might help make the decision is how big is your panel, electric panel. What's on your panel right now?
Yeah, we have 200 amps now.
Okay, so that might be long-term an issue for you, and I'll tell you why. By 2035, our government wants us all to have electric cars. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to extend it. That's my humble opinion. But, you know, the fact of the matter, a lot more electric cars are going to be out there. You know, an average home have two cars, so you have two electric cars on that panel. You need two chargers. That's 80 amps out of your 200 just gone already. Okay, I'm just thinking a bit maybe longer term, but I mean, when you do change your furnace, you're always thinking long term as well.
Right.
So you're going to start missing juice in your panel. So either you upgrade your panel now and get more power, or you remain with gas and free up that that space for the future electric plugs that you're going to install. Because that will be an extra expense. So, like, you have to look at it from every possible scenario, right? You have to look at it from, okay, it's the government is giving me more money now, but I might have to invest into increasing my panel because now I'm on electric. I'm going to take more juice from my panel, and that's going to, you know, cause me problems if I need to install car chargers in the future.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Okay,
also, if we did decide to go with electric,
yeah.
So I don't know if I'm leaning that way, but if we did decide to go with all electric, would we also replace our hot water tank to electric as well, or leave it with the gas?
You know, the hot water tank and gas is for me, that's probably where gas you like the most, especially if you're a bigger family, because it really heats up the water a lot quicker than electric. So, I mean, that I would just leave alone. I would not necessarily replace it into gas, electric, for sure.
Florence, I hope that helps you out.
It helps us out very much. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend.
Thank you, Florence. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. We've got some callers waiting on the line. We'll get to them in just a bit, so be patient. We're getting to you in a little bit. Want to remind everyone, the phone number to get in contact with Walter is 514-790-0800. This is a Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. Your chance to get on the line with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. If you've got any questions about what is going on with your house, what is that noise? Why is that leaking? What is that smell? We're taking your calls. We're taking your text messages. Yana has been waiting very patiently on the line, and I'm very excited because Yana is my Greek name also. Yana, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. And I listen to your show religiously every Saturday.
Aww.
And Mr. Assey mentioned that we can prolong the life of the roof by oil, spraying oil on it. I wonder if I am a good candidate. I have an 18-year-old shingle roof, and standing on the street, the shingles looks okay. I had one roofer come, and he said that it's probably still good for 3 years. But I asked him if he could do the oil treatment, and he doesn't do it. I can't find anybody around who would do it, and only one guy in Dorval, and they don't come this far north. I am in De Montagne, maybe 40 kilometers from Montreal. So I would like to know, my question is, am I a good candidate? How long does it prolong the life of the roof? And where can I find somebody who would do the job, preferably before the winter?
Okay. So, I mean, first off, when we talk about oils on roof, Yana, we're not talking about that Greek olive oil. Let's just be...
Thank you.
It's a plant-based soybean oil for asphalt shingles. What it does, it kind of rejuvenate the shingle. It make it a bit more flexible, if you wish. And that will be... You will be a great... a candidate if your shingles have not dried up, curled up, or separated.
No, they have not from the looking at it, no.
Yeah, so you're definitely a good candidate for that. It's like a seal. What you're doing is you're resealing the shingle, and, I believe it will even prolong the life of the shingles a lot more than 3 years. And what's really great about it is that you could reapply also. So let's say in 3, 4, 5 years, you feel that, you know, your shingles are still in good shape, you could reapply it again. Where it starts to be very tricky, again, if you have a delamination in the shingle itself, right? Now, people that does it, there are lots of companies that, a lot of roofers do it, okay? What you need to do is start first, before you go and expand your search a bit further, start with your local roofers. Okay, it's being picked up more and more by roofers, I find, in the last couple of years. Before, there was this push against it because, as you may know, anything that's a new product, people, or new technology, people tend to stay away from. But now, I see a lot more roofers open to use it and try it. I've tried it myself as an experiment on a couple of jobs, and I find it does a good job on a healthy shingle. Okay, yes. That's the most important part.
Yes, but you wouldn't know, you wouldn't recommend. I tried few roofers, and they don't want to. They don't do it, and they don't want to hear about it. Or once that he've heard about it, but. I don't know. I tried four local roofers, and none of them would do it. So I don't know.
Reach me off the air. I will give you a couple of recommendations.
Yes.
Thank you, Jana. Thank you so much. Thank and happy you. Thanksgiving. Have a good long weekend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Okay. There's a question here concerning this call online. What is the name of the oil for the roof? What is it? What did you?
Oh, there's a lot of. There's a lot of different brands that they can buy. It is a plant-based soya bean oil. You could buy like Rexoseal. There's one. There's Rexoseal actually does good ones, and there's. There's also one that, like, it's a black bucket with an orange sticker. I think it's called Waterproof Sealant, just like in big.
Look, but it's like plant-based. Like, first of all, they have to look for plant-based. Soy
yeah.
plant-based.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of different brands out there, but, you know, as long as it's the plant-based, because there's another one, you have to be careful. There's another one that is used, like, it's more used for wood shingles, so you can't use that one. Another type of oil.
Okay, so be careful. Okay, the calls are exploding. Edward has been waiting patiently on the line. Edward has a question about his hot water. Edward, can you hear us?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Take it away.
Yeah, it's about the hot water on demand. I already talked to Walter before. I want to replace my hot water tank with this hot water on demand. And I talked to one of his, somebody from his company, Weiss, Weiss, but I called, but he didn't answer. So that's why I want to talk to Walter.
Okay, go ahead.
You have a question?
Walter, I'd like to install this hot water on demand system, but it will work on 220 volts that I already have with the hot water. Tank, will that replace it? I don't want to use the tank, anymore.
Okay. So what is the question?
The hot water on demand, the electric one,
Yeah, you're asking me if I recommend it or...
Yeah, you recommended it last time.
Yeah.
But I would like to know the 220 volts that I already have on the hot water tank... will be okay for the voltage.
It will be okay. Yeah, you could definitely use the same. You don't have to do any new installation.
Yeah, but your company does that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I talked to somebody called... I didn't talk, but I called. And Weiss, Weiss, I think.
Okay.
But I haven't had a word to talk to... talk to him, that's why I'm calling you.
Oh, so you're basically asking for someone to call you back so you can clarify that. Is that it?
Yeah. I want the information from Walter.
Okay, perfect. So you know what? We'll call you back off air and we'll try to assist you.
We'll work that out, Edward, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye. Thank you so much. 514-790-0800. The calls are coming in. We see you there. We will take your calls in just a few moments. A reminder... there are text messages coming in as well. The best way to reach us, though, is by calling us 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. I saw that some of you dropped your calls during the commercial break. Call us back. come on right back. We're here. We're waiting for your questions, getting messages on the text line, but we do prefer the phone. Lily has been waiting patiently on the line. Lily has a hole in her basement. Lily, what's going on?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I bought the house in 2011, and recently I had a problem with my dishwasher. So when the plumber came, he fixed that hose because it was a disaster. Then when he went to close the water for the, you know, for the whole house, he says, "Do you have a smell here?" I go, "Yeah, I always have a smell in my basement." So as he's closing that, he discovered that there's like a square box right next to it where you close the house water, and it was dry. So he goes, "Here, you got to put water." I'm like, "Where? I never even saw that." So it's like a square hole, like, and I have to put water. And since I've been putting water, my basement doesn't smell anymore. But I never saw that, ever.
So
I know. Weird.
So you said that there's a hole in the bed. I still don't understand. Where is the hole at?
Where you know the main pipe to close, like when you're doing plumbing, there's that key, right? So the guy went to close it.
Yeah.
And he goes to me, "Here, there's a square hole. It's like a square, a box."
Okay.
And he goes, "You have to put water here every once in a while, once a month, up to a certain level." But it was so covered that when I bought the home, I never saw it.
You're talking about like a sump pump hole in the ground?
Yeah, that's.
Okay, all right. All right, so you're saying that your sump pump basin is dry?
Yeah.
Okay. And what area do you live in?
In Vimont Laval.
Okay. How's the water table in your area? Are you close to a body of water?
No, not like very close. Lake? No.
Okay. Mm. So, what age is your home?
Oh, it's about, it was in the 60s.
Okay. So there's two issues that you might want to have looked at. A dry pit usually is not a great sign. Mm. That means your French drains are not working. Usually, right? Mm. 1960s, the chances are you had terracotta tiles. And the problem with terracotta tiles is that after a while, they disintegrate. Okay?
Right.
So right now, you are left with an open hole in your in your basement slab. That is, you know, that have no water. It's just you have standing water, and that's starting to smell. Okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about is the type of cover you have over that hole. Is it a wood cover? Is it covered at all? Is it just open?
No, I think the previous owner put like a little wood flap. Like you could move it, the wood, you know?
All right. So that's your first big mistake. Right. You should not, and I repeat, you should not, and this is not just you. I see scores of homeowners that put a wood, or in some cases, believe it or not, I've seen even cardboard covers. The problem with any material that is, and I've actually seen people have put drywall. Now, the problem with this is that you have water that's evaporating and humidity that's evaporating into this cover. And it starts molding and rotting in no time. And that also creates a big smell. So what you need is a plastic cover, something that is not cellulose-based where mold could grow. Okay? That's number one. Number two, you need to have your, for now, as a quick fix, yes, pour some water into your sump pump. Make sure that you... you clean the pit and then you pump, use the pump, let the pump run so it doesn't rust in place. Make sure it's actually working. Eventually, if you you might need to have your French drain checked. And if you don't have the budget to have your French drain repaired, the minimum you should do is adequate landscaping around the house. So aggressive slopage away from the house. So you don't invite a lot of the water in. Okay? Okay. So for now, if the smell is your issue, wash that basin. Make sure that you have an adequate cover on. And add water every couple of months.
Yeah, because what he did, the plumber, he was nice. He it was so dry and rusty. He vacuumed it and everything, and then he put the water. And since I've been put the water, it doesn't smell that much in my basement anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Oh, my God. This is great news. But I was not told. Imagine, I didn't know anything about it. I just discovered it now since 2011.
Lily, that's why yeah. He's here. That's why Walter is here.
Oh, I know. He's so sweet. Thank you so
Lily,
much.
Good luck with this hole Thank in your basement. You. And
you so
happy
much.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, you guys. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. 514-790-0800, your best way to reach Walter S. We do have some text messages coming in here where, again, we do prefer phone calls, 514-790-0800. This one came in a little earlier. It says, hello, help save a marriage, my dear. I have these porcelain tiles on the floor in the bathroom. The finish is flat and they get dirty super quickly. Can you suggest a sealer that can help? Thank you so much and happy Thanksgiving. From Lauren, what can we do for this man? Apparently, it is destroying his marriage.
We don't want that.
No.
So some of the tiles are porous and they shouldn't be sold, period. Okay. The issue with sealers, and any tile sealer would work, but the issue with sealers is in a lot of cases it needs to be reapplied. So depending on the manufacturer, depending on the brand, it's very important to read the instructions. You know, it just gives you a time period of reapplication. So some are 1 year, others are 3 years, depending on the quality. The more important is not really the brand as much as it is the preparation. The tiles cannot be wet, the grout cannot be wet, meaning for a few days before, no showers, no humidity, no nothing. And then you clean the floor thoroughly. You
With
mop
what?
It. You actually first vacuum it.
Okay.
Second, you mop it. Third, you dry it. You do another second vacuuming. Because all of that granulation on the tile, when you apply the sealer, you're locking it in place.
Mm.
So if you have dust or dirt, you just magnified that and sealed it in forever.
Like a fossil of dirt.
There you go. Fossil of dirt. That's very well said. So it's really the preparation and the dryness. It have to be dry. And then the more important is you keep a log of when this was done so you can reapply it before it's actually expires, quote unquote.
Okay, so hopefully that saves that marriage there for you, Lauren. Hopefully. Another question here about oiling the shingles. Can it or should it even be a do-it-yourself project to oil the shingles? I always get nervous when people want to go up on the roof. Am I wrong to think that?
Well, I mean, if the guy was an ex-roofer and he's very comfortable with it, okay, you could do it. But, you know, it depends how sloped your roof is. You're right. Most of the accidents I know of the do-it-yourselfers were in places they shouldn't have been in the first place. So it is not an easy thing to do walking on a roof. And
oiling the shingles feels like it's complicated, no?
Yeah, if you want to know if you're... It's funny to say that, but if even your construction boots, because you have to have the proper traction boots when you're on a roof specifically. And I remember, like, when I was, you know, younger in time and, you know, just starting, I had these construction boots that, you know, I went on the roof one time and I was slipping and sliding everywhere.
Walter.
And then I realized that my construction boots expired.
Oh, I've never even thought. So rubber at the bottom?
That's right. The rubber at the bottom, like, with time, it loses traction, right? So if you're a roofer and all the roofers out there, just make sure that you're up to date with your boots because that could save your life. So, I mean, just make sure that you have adequate shoes. You know, I'm a big, you know, harness and safety type of guy.
Yes.
Because it's not worth getting paralyzed over.
Oh, God.
And if you have a big slopage on your roof and you're not comfortable, just don't take a chance. But it is easy enough to be done by, as far as the application of it, it's pretty much, you just roll it on the shingles and...
Okay, but it's like getting on the roof and staying on the roof.
And maneuvering yourself on the roof and like going into those very steep...
I don't know. I don't like it. But again, you just talked about a harness. Who has a harness laying around in the house?
You could just rent one.
The man has all the answers. 514-790-0800. Give us a call. Ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your home improvement questions, your concerns, your needs. This is the Home Improvement Show. We do have a good time here on the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey standing by to take your questions. 514-790-0800. It's about time. We have a good 10 minutes left to the show. We've got two callers to get to. John is on the line. He has a problem with his forced air. John, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, take it away.
Okay, hi. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the call, Walter. You're a gift and assets to Montreal. Thank
Aww.
You.
Thank you.
So the issue, the problem that I have, it's a 30-year-old townhouse in Ville Saint-Laurent. And I noticed that on the upper levels, the air wasn't coming in through the vents there on the floor. And so I had a guy with a camera come in and inspect try to determine what the issue was. And he noticed that the conduits, the flexible conduits were disconnected in some places.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do I do now, according to you? What do you think? And is this something that's normal after 30 years?
No, it shouldn't ever be normal, because once you disconnect the flexible ducts, then you're heating or cooling your ceiling cavity rather than the room, that you want to heat or cool.
Right.
So it was probably a bad job from the get-go. There's no magic. There's no secret sauce. There's no magic bullet for this. It needs to be reinstalled properly. And that's one of the reasons I prefer. I'm not so much a big fan of flexible ducts. I'm more, solid duct kind of a guy, because you cannot dislodge it from place. Once it's there, it's there. So if you are going to do it and you are going to expose these areas, then I would recommend that you see if it's doable and reachable, you could avoid flexible ducts. That would be better. If not, just make sure that things are anchored properly this time.
Could this have, because we've been there 7 years, could this have happened through inappropriate cleaning, for example, of the ducts at some point?
Well, that's you hit the nail on the head there. The problem with flexible ducts is that they're too flimsy, right? It's like trying to clean a dryer vent that is flexible. It's not cleanable. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good cleaner will tell you, "I won't touch it," because you could tear it, you could dislodge it. There's a million things that could happen wrong. The way you clean ducts is with high pressure, so even if it's not through the fault of the duct cleaner, just at high pressure. So you have sucking from the bottom. You have a very strong negative pressure from the bottom and very strong positive pressure from the top, right? So you are creating stress on the pipe itself. With time, that will weaken the pipe itself. And in a lot of cases, it gets dislodged. And to be quite frank with you, it's not even through the fault of the duct cleaner. It's just that the word flexible duct for me is not really, especially if you are cleaning your ducts. Like, people that don't clean their ducts might have no issues as much, or not as many issues with it. But it's not really the healthy way to go, right?
John, I hope that helps you out. Thank you for calling, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got time for one last call. Do we? Yes, Jim, we have time. Rob is on the line. Rob, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. A happy, beautiful morning to you.
You too, Rob. Can you speak up a little bit? I think you're in your car, and I'm hearing the wind. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm driving. Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, so, Rob, take it away.
I just have a two-point question regarding the tankless water heaters. I need to change mine. The insurance says it's time to change it. What's the cost difference just for the equipment between the two? And how much longer will it last, or is it the same life expectancy, about 10 years?
So the tankless systems, the good news is that there's different brands with a big gap in the price based on the budget and based on how many people you are at home and everything else. I don't know how many are you?
Yes, and that's my thing. I'm single and I travel a lot. I'm not home a lot.
Okay, and you don't take a lot of showers either, I presume?
Walter is asking you if you smell.
No. I'm fast in and out and I have no hair to wash.
Okay.
Rob, you're awesome.
Yeah, so that is a perfect candidate for that. So you know, you don't need to spend money. You could. There are some that just are about $500 that are half decent. So as far as and you know, the 10-year mark is an insurance mark. It doesn't mean that the hot water tank cannot last more than 10 years. But it is recommended to change it before the 10-year mark. Simply because manufacturers today, believe it or not, don't want to spend a lot of money improving their technologies because of the 10-year mark on their tanks.
Sure.
So if you know that 10 years, the insurance wants it, you could buy the most expensive tank on the planet. After 10 years, you still have to throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as hot water, like instant hot water, as far as budgets, you don't need to get anything. You need to have a good quality one, but not, the capacity or the... You don't need to spend, over the $500-$600 mark.
Great. And are those available at your regular big box stores, or do I have to go to something special?
So, I mean, you could find them more at places like Duchenne, Nalco, these kind of places. It's more a specialty.
Got it.
For now.
Right. Rob, okay. I hope that helps you out. Wherever you're going, drive carefully and have a great and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too as well. Thank you.
All right, that does it for our show, Walter. Are you doing Turkey this weekend?
I'm not doing Turkey. I might go to Greece.
How are you telling me this now? We'll talk off the air. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for joining us again for this edition of the Home Improvement Show. Have a happy long weekend and happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. Enjoy it. We'll be back next week.